Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, April 1st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that particular chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years. It'll be 18 years in June. And I've used it to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to help me turn any negative emotional experience into a part of that infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. That's our emotional energy system, our intuition, our conscious, whatever you want to call it, our higher self. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. Just once you get to that page after you've clicked on the Start Here link, there's a link you can click to download the worksheet process. It's a simple PDF file. Download it. Print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through the reality management worksheet process or coached on how to use the Mind Shifter targeted journaling tool, or they've been coached on how to use the responsibility communication tool, or the codependence to interdependence worksheet. The list goes on. There are all kinds of tools in this work. They fit together to create a comprehensive system for improving the quality of one's life and relationships and to step into awareness of how they are actually creating their experience of life moment to moment. You can also download a host of audio files or shows just like this one. I may probably already said that. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of that and you're on the call live, you can dial in at 563-999-3581. And when you do that on your phone and press 1, it will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll see that when there's time, and I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. Another effective way to reach out and get your comments or questions or answers or testimonials to us is to email us, jeanie@yagain.org, or you can email me directly at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And we appreciate it when people do that. It makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work, which is to be of service. We're doing the Way of Mastery this year, going through it since January 10th, going through it slowly, methodically, approaching it as though it is a set of tools to learn and practice and actively use to improve our quality of life, just like all the tools that are available on whyagain.org. They're practical, efficient, effective, and accessible tools. One of those tools that I was prompted to create a few years ago now is the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. And I was looking at that recently, thinking about updating it, and I'm frequently adding things to it in terms of highlight shows from the internet show or blog posts or in response to questions or suggestions from people. And I was back reading through the About Us page on that website. And I think, you know, this could easily be, this little few paragraphs here, could easily be the intro to the internet show as well. It just talks about how I began working as a probation officer back in 1974 and how, with all those years of study for a doctorate in clinical psychology and all the postgraduate work, I've come across a number of master therapists who promote their unique style of work, whether it's EMDR or brain spotting or brain tap work or coherence therapy or somatic therapy. It's all kinds of things. And these are usually created and taught by what I'm putting in quotes here as master therapists who promote their unique style of work. And they promise amazing results. And each and every time I've tried these various techniques, I've been limited to the quality and effectiveness of results I've gotten. Certainly have never reached the level of master with what I've seen from the creators of these works. And I came to realize that each of these people had a creative genius which allowed them to use their particular talents to achieve outstanding results. However, unless I was familiar with their creative genius or had that particular genius myself, I wouldn't get very good results. In 2004, I came across a set of tools by Dr. Michael Rice, and it just felt like coming home. This is exactly what I was trying to teach people in my therapy ever since 1974. And I fell into using it and felt so good about it that I started donating my time to teaching it, 3 hours, prime evening hours, one night a week. And I was amazed at how this set of tools, unlike everything else I'd ever come across, was able to offer solid, creative, effective, efficient results to people without them having to be a creative genius, just applying the tools. In 2011, I began supporting this internet show, 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. And then in March of 2019, I dedicated another hour of my life, 5 days a week, to doing this show now that you're listening to it from 11 to noon Central. In 2018, I expanded my office, the physical office, and I invested in a larger office so that I could hold a Thursday night group as well as a Tuesday night group. And I offer all of this because I've never run into anything in terms of the tools that I've had in various trainings, whether it's a device that helps people, whether it's a therapy technique, whether it's breath work, energy work. I've never run into anything that can so consistently has been giving people positive, effective, efficient tools that's so accessible. It's free. It's on the internet. And the support for it is contained in the archives of this work. And I add to that the work with the Way of Mastery, layered on top of and woven through knowledge of the Course in Miracles and Dr. Michael Rice's lectures and videos on various topics that are built upon knowledge of his work as a naturopathic physician and the knowledge of the Kabbalah manuscript, which is the oldest known copy of the New Testament. He was in charge of a foundation of translating it directly from the ancient Aramaic into English, and his years of teaching and working with the Course in Miracles. And my offering of the Way of Mastery is that it's the same message. And the more, and I remember in the first four-hour audio lecture that I listened to with Dr. Rice, four separate CDs, an hour each. And in there he said, what we've learned is that the more different ways you can come at new material, the faster you'll learn it and the deeper your understanding will be. So in that lecture he was saying, we're going to talk about the reality management worksheet and the forgiveness process from the perspective of the psychologist and the perspective of the physical physician and the perspective of the theologians and the perspective of the psychologists and the perspective of physics. And when you look at it from all those different levels, you'll start to understand a little bit deeper and a little bit quicker than if you just keep hearing the same thing repeated the same way every time. That's why I offer this deeper dive into the Way of Mastery. And what we did on yesterday was we finished reading for the first time on this show, Lesson 7. And Lesson 7 is just like 8 or 9 pages. It's a shorter chapter. But the title of it is Birthing the Mind of Christ. The title of this chapter is the main focus of all of the Christ Mind material, helping individuals like you, if you're listening to this, wake up to the fact that you are a creator. You are creating your own life experience in each moment, that you have the capacity to learn to create and dismantle the garbage and the trivialities that have been shoved into your intellect. And what you're going to find when you remove enough of the negatives and the garbage and the traumas is direct conscious awareness of your existence, your true nature as a part of the one mind, as a part of the Christ consciousness. And everything else is of little, if any, value. Earlier, within the first 6 lessons, it said, we want you to understand that the only relationship in your life that holds any value is your relationship with the forces that created you and that are sustaining you. Your relationship with the flow of creative energy, with life itself, with your creator, with God, with light, with love, whatever you want to call it. And everything, the quality of the substance of the effectiveness of everything else in your life flows directly from that that relationship and the quality of that relationship. So if you believe you're separate from your creator, if you believe you are a victim and not a creator, if you believe there's more negative going on in the world in each moment than good, you will create the experience that that's the truth for you. And your reality, the pictures that your mind shows you, will be of those negativities, will be of that limitation, will be of yourself as victim. And yet, it's you that are creating that picture, that experience, that moment-to-moment reality. And everything about the first five lessons of the Way of Mastery, we'll stretch it to six, is designed to help us understand what we might do to begin to observe directly for ourselves the power of the creative power of the focus of our conscious awareness. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment. If you're hearing these words, it's because you have chosen to be here and to listen. It is the choice of what you focus your conscious awareness upon that is the actual mechanism that creates your experience of life in each new present moment. And it talks about it so many ways. We're going to talk about it many more ways as we go through this Way of Mastery. But the fact of the matter is, I like the one example. It probably comes from the Way of Mastery. I've probably blended it and meshed it a bit with some other things. But it's a busy Saturday morning, and I have a young family. And we've got a house, and there are errands to run, and there are kids to drop off at soccer, and there's division of labor, so my partner's going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I leave the house with a list of things I want to do, and one of them is I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to go over to the Oberweis Dairy and have some ice cream, my favorite ice cream, and I'm going to be gone 3 or 4 hours. And when I get home, my partner greets me and says, oh, how'd it go? Did you get everything you needed at Home Depot or whatever over here and over there? And did you stop for ice cream? And I say, yeah. And she says, well, what did you have? And I go blank because there were 3 stops since the ice cream. And I can't remember what I had for ice cream. Did I have my usual? Did I get creative? The point of that story is that I did those activities, but I didn't really experience them. I wasn't awake and aware in the present moment. I was distracted by the to-do list. I was thinking about where I was going to go next. I was triggered to upset by somebody driving in a way that I judged as inappropriate. I was upset with being overcharged at the last door. It doesn't matter what. We get distracted. We use the trivialities of our mind. We forget that we are the creators of our experience moment to moment. And a book like The Way of Mastery, when it's used as a set of tools, is specifically targeted to help us wake up to the fact that we are creating our experience of life in each moment, and if we are not experiencing ourselves as a powerful creator, consciously creating our experience of life, consciously in connection with, consciously aware of our true nature as the creative energy expressing in form, if we are not active in our conscious extension of that creative energy, some would call it love, in every moment with every person and everything, it's because we are creating a different experience. And if we want to be awake and aware of our true nature, if we would like to be able to experience the flow of life as a precious gift in each moment, if we would like to feel more and more of the flow of life and the power of that life energy, power beyond what words can describe, We need to begin to wake up to our true nature, and we need to begin to assess how our family's history and our culture and our personal history has had us download energies and beliefs and misappropriate the power of our conscious awareness into things that are not positive and that are more focused on the intellect than the awakened heart or the observer mode, that are not open to all of the various energies of life flowing through us, and remove them. And the more we do that, we are actively waking up to our true nature as a part of the Christ mind. And that's the only thing that holds any value in our lives. That's the only thing that holds any lasting value in our life. And it's the thing which, once it's established, and to whatever degree it is established, creates and flavors the value and the quality of every other experience we have, every other relationship we create. We had a support group last night, and at one point someone was asking in the support group, why aren't there more people reading the Way of Mastery and studying it? Why aren't there more people in the support group? Why aren't there more people listening to the internet show? And the answer is because it takes work to do. It takes effort. There's a real significant need to be vigilant, to be committed, to be observant moment to moment, so that I can discover the false patterns of conditioning that have become so habituated in my mind. I can discover the various ways, the insidious nature of my identification with the conscious logical mind or the intellect or the ego. And I can, in that awareness, in that direct present moment observation of my identification with that which is false and negative, I can loosen its hold over me. I can create the open space where my choice to focus on something more positive, my choice to see through the negative and the false and the dream of separation, allows me to have a deeper integrated access to these energies of creation. So to review lesson 7, the text reads, "Forever I am with you." And then, because it really wants to emphasize this point, the same words again in italics, "Forever I am with you." You cannot be separated from any other person, the flow of life, your creator, etc. You can create the dream of separation, as we're also aware of, and yet you cannot be separate. The text reads, "For long before the stars were birthed, long before the planets arose, long before even a thought of physicality had emerged within the divine mind of the Son of Creation, of all of the offspring of creation, long before the thought of physicality ever emerged, we were already together, you and I and every consciousness you've ever encountered, Yeshua, all of the Buddhas, Vishnu, all consciousness was together, and we were created together and equally." And yet, that creation has no point of birth, no point of origin. It always was and it always will be. Therefore, because the Father is forever, because all of creation is forever, so too have we abided together and been sustained together in that energy of creation that some would call love. Throughout all time and even unto eternity, we abide together in the actuality of who we are. I changed that word reality into actuality here, to be in the flow of what Dr. Michael Rice likes to talk about, the distinction between the pictures my mind shows me in my head, which is my internal reality, and it can be dramatically different than yours and somebody else's, and the actuality of the flow of creative energy, of life around us. And therefore, because we have been together since before there was time or any physicality, don't think it extraordinary when I say unto you, I'm with you always. We are all always together and connected as one flow of divine mind, even unto the end of this age. What journey have you ever taken that's not familiar to me? For that matter, what journey have I ever taken that is in truth not familiar to you? For when you look upon me from some deep place of knowingness within yourself, though your words may be different, you say within yourself, behold, Christ appears before me. This is going to happen. You're going to run into people, and you're going to feel that there's truth dripping off of everything they say. You're going to be aware that they understand they're not doing any of this fabulous stuff that you're seeing. They're just being lived and being seen through. You'll notice this difference in them, and you won't quite know what it is, but what it's going to be is the absence of ego, the absence of claiming, the absence of striving, as this book points out. You're going to run into people, and you're going to find out one way to talk about it is they are just so comfortable in their own skin that that's different. They're not going to try and get anything from you. They're not going to try and convince you of anything. They're going to be perfectly okay with the flow of life in, through, as, and around them and you, and you'll feel that. Goes on and says, when you hold a thought of me in your mind, Yeshua, Jesus, in your mind, and your body is flooded with emotion, soft and gentle and light, and you recognize that the Holy Son of all creation was birthed and perfected in me, in your friend, Yeshua ben Joseph, Jesus the son of Joseph, is another way to read that. What is within you that could recognize that? The truth is, the truth within me is also the truth within you. It takes one to know one, they were telling us in a previous lesson. The part of you that can recognize somebody that is not full of ego, who understands they are just like you and they're just a part of the flow of life, is coming from a part of you that also understands that. What part of your mind, what capacity within your heart can look upon me and recognize the truth within me so that you have great love for me? For I say well unto you, it's the same part of my mind, that part of my heart that looks upon you and says, behold, we're all the same. In front of me, the holy offspring of all creation stands, and I have great love for this one. I have great affection for this one. I enjoy being in this energy with this person, with this spark of divine light. The text reads, that which knows, that which comprehends immediately, that is the mind of Christ. That's the rooted center of your being, which is exactly the same as the rooted center of my being, which is exactly the same as the rooted center of all consciousness. And it recognizes itself in each and every person. That mind of Christ dwells within you in its fullness right now, this very moment. It may be covered up by all kinds of trauma. It may be covered up by the language you've learned and the morals and values and ethics you've been taught, and it may be covered up by the practiced habit of judgment, endlessly judging, and yet it's in you fully in each new present moment. Therefore, as I've said unto you many times, never fail to remember that it takes one to know one. There's that phrase again. You wouldn't be able to recognize somebody who's getting their act together unless there's a part of you that's been getting your act together. If you look upon me and you say, behold, friend, beloved friend, I thank you for your existence, then turn to the mirror, look at yourself and say, beloved friend, thank you. I thank you for your existence. And allow your breath to move and flow. Soften and accept the truth of your nature. How many journeys have there been? How many moments of experience have passed under the bridge of your beingness before you first began to reawaken to the truth, that truth that's true always? How many lifetimes, how many worlds have you been through before a light began to dawn, perhaps imperceptibly at first? And then a tiny voice, as though it was whispered from a place that seemed so far removed from where you were, said, beloved offspring, you are with me now. You remain as you have been created to be. Therefore, be at peace, know that you're loved, get conscious connection to that love, and gladly extend it to everyone and everything. You'll never run out. This is not a zero-sum game. The more you give that loving energy that you're made of, the more you experience it forever. And perhaps that voice seems so far away and so faint that your mind said, well, surely that can't be me. That was just a moment's fantasy. That's a distraction. That's a hallucination. I shouldn't mention that to anybody. But the fact of the matter is, everybody who's drawn to listen to lessons like this, we've had these moments in the middle of our life where we got a glimpse of something other than just the physical. The example given here is, as a raindrop fell upon a leaf, your eyes looked upon that experience, and you felt and you knew, oh my God, I'm one with that leaf. I'm one with that raindrop. I really am all of life. How many moments of experience have passed before these kinds of qualities began to emerge in your consciousness as what seemed at first to be tiny, mad ideas? You might have had thoughts like, oh my God, I just felt myself to be one with all of creation. People are going to think I'm nuts. I better not tell anybody about that. I better get back to work. However, the moments began to come more often, still perhaps fleetingly, and yet each time they were a little bit more familiar. And there was a sense underneath all the drama, all of the crying, all of the lamenting, all of the resenting and the fearing and the striving and the seeking, that still small voice would come and say, beloved offspring, you remain as you were created to be. You are loved, loving, and lovable forever. You are the energy of creation. You are holy and completely lovable forever because you are the essence of love extending in form. And that tiny voice would steal through the roar and the din of life that had seemed to make such a home within your mind. This book is reassuring us that, rest assured, you would not be where you appear to be in this moment. You wouldn't be listening to a text like this. You wouldn't be reading a book like The Way of Mastery if you had not already begun to experience many moments that expressed the quality that was just described to you. That quality of truly hearing that still small voice for intuition, that voice of the supreme comforter within you. Therefore, indeed, and each one of you knows that there is a longing within you that you cannot and will not any longer be able to deny. You know from the Christ within you that Christ has stirred, and it's rising up to take its rightful place as the master of your mind, of your heart, of your body, of your breath, of your dreams, and of your passions. Each one of you knows that it's absolutely futile to attempt to settle for anything less. The Christ mind is more powerful than the Borg from Star Trek, where they say, resistance is futile. Christ mind will not be denied because the Christ mind is the truth of what is. The truth of what is continues to unfold and extend itself. Each of us with that spark of divine mind, and we said, has the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness. We can choose to turn away from the truth of what is. It doesn't change the truth of what is. We can create a dream of being separate from the truth of what is, and we can never be separate from the truth of what is. This Christ mind moving and expressing and expanding within you, it does not come because of anything you've ever done, anything Jesus has ever done for you, anything you've earned because you're a good kid, a good person. It comes because it must come. It must arise within each created mind, regardless of the abuse you've been through, regardless of any attempts you've made to separate yourself from others, regardless of the pain, regardless of the family traumas, regardless of how well you've practiced and committed yourself to the dream of separation, the Christ mind must come and awaken and emerge and evolve because it's all there is. It cannot be denied because only the Christ mind itself can express what is absolutely true. Again, please don't get caught up in the words. The words Christ mind are simply another way of talking about the truth of consciousness, the one consciousness, that which my intellect will never comprehend. And yet, there is an energy center, a system of energy centers within me that can introduce me to experiences that arise only from the presence of energies that my intellect cannot comprehend. And the next paragraph talks about that. It says, only Christ, this is the top of page 85, only Christ and the Christ mind can so inform the cellular structure of the body that even the simplest of gestures begins to extend this loving energy, this creative energy, from you to all of those around you. Only Christ knows how to breathe the breath that releases all trauma and all hurt. Only the Christ mind understands the power of true forgiveness, that ability to dismantle every false perception, everything that's less than love from the dream of separation. Only Christ understands the power of true forgiveness, which is always, by the way, dismantling one's false perceptions. It's, by the way, this is forgiveness of one's self for creating false perceptions, the dismantling of those false perceptions. Since no one has ever wronged you at any time, no one has had the power to do anything to harm you in any way, and by you we mean your essence, your consciousness, your soul, your higher self, your connection to your Creator has never been threatened or damaged in any way. Only that energy of the Christ mind and your conscious awareness of it without all the garbage in the way has the ability to bring a smile to the lips of your body such that when anybody else looks upon that smile, their heart gets full. They resonate with that energy that brings them alive in a whole new way. Only the Christ mind can walk in this world and yet not be of the world. Only the Christ mind can transcend every limited and fearful creation, transforming them into the beautiful flower that blossoms and gives its sweet fragrance to all of creation. The truth is, that's what you long to feel moving through your being. That's the call to awaken within you. Extend the love that you are to everyone and everything. Extend that love from your higher self, your true self, that has been given unto you of your Creator. Learn to listen, hear, and act only from that voice of the Great Comforter. That still small voice that reminds you what is true always. You remain as you were created to be. You and your Creator are one flow of energy. Learn to follow only that voice that knows the truth that's true always. And here's another way to say that truth that's true always. I and my heavenly Creator are one. This world is but a passing shimmer and a dream. This world holds no value except for that which the Christ mind can bring to it. Only the energy of love, only the energy of creation is real. Anything else is a choice to momentarily believe in illusion. Close quotes. Rest assured that illusion within an illusory world can seem to hold great power. However, all power has been given unto you. All power under heaven and earth is given unto the offspring of creation. And that power dwells within you in this very minute, every moment, as the life of your life, as the breath of your breath, as the truth of your truth, as the being of your being, and the joy of your joy. There has never been any illusory creation that has ever in truth threatened you, your true nature, the essence of the energy of creation expressing through you. Nor can any illusion take that actuality from you. You remain as you were created to be. The only thing that can occur is that you choose to use this power of your creative mind to believe that you're separated, to believe that you've lost something, to believe that there's more for you to gain. All forms of loss that you create are things that you create through the process of perception of after the initial dream of separating from your source. These are dreams of loss that you perceive through your physical eyes or through the worldly mind, and they're nothing more than passing shades of your dream state, of your desire to believe that loss is possible, of your desire to experience the perception of separation. All forms of contraction, known as fear, are nothing more than temporary modifications of the very power that's been given to you. This is the same power that you've sought to use to see if it were possible to convince yourself that something besides love is real. It's the same power that entities like Yeshua use to create the experience of everlasting life, to assist your existence, to take responsibility for the whole of creation in this world. It's the same power. You can use it and direct it towards loving, gratitude-based, appreciation-based experience of the flow of creation, or you can use it and direct it towards distraction, contraction, fear, hurt, loss. But the essence of it is that only love, only the creational energy is real, and that's what you're using to create your experience of life moment to moment. Accept that energy of creation. Accept your ability to direct it from one area to another. There's this wave of momentum welling up in you. It's alive. It's the Christ mind. It's already arisen within your heart and your mind, or you wouldn't be listening to a recording like this. You wouldn't be called to pick up a book like The Way of Mastery. So this book says, so now might be a good time to stop denying it, stop questioning it. Stop looking for signs from that world around you that you've created with your perception that it's going to be all right to feel it. Step into the awareness that you're creating your experience moment to moment. Accept it as a divine gift of your Creator. And let your prayer be the following prayer. Creator, may the Christ mind alone dwell within and as this creation that I once thought of as myself. May the Christ mind alone inform each thought and each breath and each choice. May this energy of love and creation direct every step I take. May love transform this journey through time, that in time I might truly know the reality of eternity, the sanctity of peace, the holiness of holiness, the holiness of intimacy, and the joy of the Creator's love, and that I might know that energy and have that direct experience prior to every breath, and indeed prior to every thought that arises within the mind. Notice, they're using the words the body, the mind, not my mind, my body. This is about waking up to the truth that my thoughts about myself are part of the trivialities that the culture has programmed into me. You've already had later in this lesson, it says, you know, you call the body your body, as though you have some right to possess it. You have no idea how to use it to bless yourself and the world around you. You didn't create it. You don't know when it was created. So quit claiming ownership of it and offer it to the forces of creation that know how to use it. The text goes on to say, for when you know that you are holiness itself, you are the energy of creation expressing in form. You'll never be able to look on your brother or sister and believe that they've wronged you. And you're not going to be able to do anything other than want to extend the love that you and they are and that experience of each other to them in each moment. That is to let the love of the Christ mind flow through you so deeply and so profoundly that everyone around you finally gets it. You don't believe in their dream of separation. You see the truth of who they are. When you give unto another your direct conscious experience of the truth that their true nature is the same as yours, because all minds are joined and that which alone is true is the essence of life, giving rise to your experience, then you will have offered them the only gift that has any value. And you might be giving them that gift without even saying a word, because all minds are joined. So if you're in this direct conscious awareness of your true nature as love, as it says right there in the Reality Management Worksheet with Dr. Rice, that wakes up the love in everyone involved. And the people around you have a chance to wake up to the fact that you see the truth of them and that you see through all of the illusions that they're throwing up, that they're less than love, and that they have this felt sense that it's safe for them to choose again, choose anew, choose for love, choose to teach only love in each moment. That's when miracles seem to occur. That's when changes happen that the conscious logical mind can't create a framework of logic that can explain it. And that's what most people are referring to when they say a miracle. It's something that's real, it's something that happens, and we've got no way to explain it within our science or our logic or our temporal experience, moment to moment. So the text goes on and says, please, don't strive to heal the world. Don't do anything to make a show of how much you love somebody else. Give up the concept of being a busy bee, running around, teaching everybody how wonderful you are, how much you know about spirituality, how loving you can be. Stop that. Simply tune into your true nature as the essence of love expressing in form. Simply be the presence of love. Be that because you know from your lived experience that there's no value in trying to be anything else. And in truth, you've never succeeded at being anything but the presence of love. Each sane moment that you've experienced, each moment of unlimitedness, each moment of genuine intimacy, each moment of grace-filled joy that you've ever known, in whatever form it seems to take place, it has come to you, it has been your experience, because in that moment you've allowed your mind to slip into the sea of peace. You've gotten out of your mind. You've put the conscious logical mind aside. And you've just been abiding, empty, wanting nothing, seeking nothing, being merely the presence of what you are. And when that quality of just being aware of your true nature, when that becomes cultivated so that it permeates your consciousness with each and every breath and with each moment, when that happens, you will know that Christ has indeed arisen this day. The Christ mind is awake and aware and actively vibrating through you and extending from you in the moment. And the text says, and then you will be celebrating Easter with each breath. If this is your true nature, if all that's needed is for you to remove everything less than that, to have direct conscious awareness of and experience of your true nature as love, as the flow of creative energy extending through you, then what in heaven's name could ever block that from being your life experience? The answer is fear. The answer is all of the thought patterns that derive from the original error in thought. What's the original error in thought? I can be other than I was created to be. That's an error in thought. That gives rise to the dream of separation. There are places in the Course in Miracles and some other great spiritual teachings that say there are only two basic emotions. There's love or fear. There's only two basic energies in the world. There's either acceptance of the flow of life or contraction away from it, which is fear. Now, humans, we've got all of these different words and different languages and different energy intensities, and so we create labels for all kinds of shades of emotion that are children or offspring of or godchildren of, grandchildren of the one energy that's unlike love, and that is fear. And there are people who find great value in talking about the difference between sadness and grief, and between grief and anger, and between anger and rage, and between frustration and anger, and that's fine. This is not about attacking that. This is about saying at an entirely different level, beyond language, before language, and after language, it's possible to experience the energy of life flowing through you and embrace it and see that there is only either that or turning away from it, judging it, constricting from it. Whatever you want to call that. You want to call it fear. You want to call it denial. You want to call it projection. Doesn't matter. I'm either willfully, consciously, joyfully experiencing the flow of life and my role in it, or I'm contracting away from it. Whatever word you want to use for that, perfectly okay. So that this next lesson goes on and talks about fear. It says the only thing that will that has the capacity within your consciousness to block from you your experience of the creative energy extending in form, your true nature. Your true nature is light and love. The only thing that can block that is this energy of fear, is this turning away from, directing your consciousness somewhere else. And it tells a little story about a little shadow cast by a tiny little piece of grass up in a mountain meadow someplace. And it's giving us this example by saying, look, when the shadow up in some mountain meadow is cast by some blade of grass on a little stone on the ground, that's got no impact whatsoever on the turning of the planets, of the beating of your heart, of the creation of other stars and galaxies that's going on right now. It's got nothing to do with the turning of the seasons, and it certainly has nothing to do with your connection to your source. Fear cannot separate you from your source. Fear cannot hurt you as an essence, ever. You can use that energy, the mind energy, the creative energy, to create a belief of separation, to constrict away from the flow of life, to judge things, and thereby create an experience of being separated and being vulnerable and being weak. You can create that experience because, as this lesson says, all power under heaven and earth has been given to you. So you can create that experience. It does not make it an actuality. And every time you pull away from healing or you struggle to speak your truth, right before that happened, you decided to believe in fear. You decided to give more value to moving away from the flow of life than you did give value to being consciously accepting, allowing, and surrendering to the flow of life. It's an inside job. That's what this lesson, that's what all of the Christ Mind work is leading us to. So, there we are, beginning of page 87, in the Way of Mastery, in Lesson 7, going through it the second time, taking it as it comes, allowing and surrendering to it. Glad for your participation. Thank you, everyone, for being here. It's quite the ride. And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff that we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you. Happy April Fool's.
Appreciate you as well. Have a wonderful weekend and a great show.
Thanks, you too. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Friday, April the 1st, 2022. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And it's a whole lot easier than doing a monologue. So if you have a question or a comment, press 1. Being April Fool's, it was funny. This morning I went to visit Dad, and as I was you have to sign in and check off, you know, that you've not been around somebody with COVID and so forth and take your temperature. And so anyway, I was doing all the sign-in, and there was a couple of little ladies sitting in the lounge behind me, and they saw me look at my watch because I was going to document the time that I had arrived. And she said, "What time is it?" And I said, "You know, it's 11 o'clock, and it's April the 1st. I said, "So be careful. Somebody will play an April Fool's joke on you." And she just laughed, and she said, "Well, I'm not playing." So it was kind of comical. But we spent a few, not too long, but a little while with Dad, and played dominoes and set up some things in his room. And then he was eating lunch when we left to head back here to be on the show with you. So we welcome you to the show, and welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted and honored that you're here once again as we keep moving forward and deepening our understanding of this whole power person dynamic and the forgiveness process that alleviates this atrocity from the world. And I just wanted to expand, you know, we've sort of sown over the last few days this power person thing into what happened in the Oscars. And I just, an event happened actually when we were seeing Jeannie's dad that just ties in and sort of drove home a couple of points for me. And that is that if you remember, when your power place and person played out, whatever their dynamic was, whatever their shtick was, how painful it was, how perhaps degrading it was, whatever all the things that went along with it for you. And you look at the impact that this power person dynamic has on people's lives, and it's monumental. You know, we talked about this whole event at the Oscars the other night and how Will Smith told a story in a memoir that was published before the event ever happened. So it wasn't made up as a result of what happened, but it was a pre existed as far as the event goes. And Will talks about how his power person, Dad, literally hit his mother in the head, knocking her over and bleeding. And how that impacted his life, how he watched that happen, and how his whole life long he felt himself a coward because he never stood up to his father. Here we are 50 or 43 or so years later, and what does Will Smith do? Exactly what his power person did that he hated the most. I mean, literally, the thing he hated most in his life is precisely, to a T, the behavior that he did 43 years later when under stress. And look at the impact that that event has had, literally, on the whole world. I mean, we've got people out there crying about how it made them angry and it made them, you know, depressed. And it's, I mean, they're all kinds of embarrassed for Smith, you know, all kinds of things that people who watch an event like that, that live in denial, think the event actually caused the response that they had. That denial dissociation. And, you know, remember our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's moving inside of me. I'm in denial. And I dissociate from everything involved in that event when I language as though it's caused from outside of me. So the person who watched Will Smith and said, "Boy, he enraged me," they've got a power person dynamic. It involved the rage of the power person, but they're totally, completely dissociated from it. Literally no access to it. And it takes a big person to start to engage in conversation going, "Wow, I look at how I've done things like that over and over and over again, and I'm going to choose to be responsible, and I'm going to work through it." But most people don't do that. Most people do exactly what Will Smith did. What did he say? He blamed love. I mean, think about it for a minute. He got up and said, people will do funny things for love. And my offering is love had nothing to do with it. His relationship with his wife and quote-unquote love involved in their relationship, absolutely zero, zilch, nothing whatsoever to do with what he did. But people make, and there's a four-letter word that I would kind of normally use here, but I won't because we're on the radio show. People make stuff. We'll use a different four-letter word, but you know the four-letter word I mean. People make stuff up in order to justify what they're dissociated from when they do it. And they have no idea. I mean, think about when your power person did whatever it is that you do regularly. You make yourself up a story that you didn't really do that. You did something else. And then you make up stories to justify what it is that you did. And how much ongoing energetic damage is done in the world. Energetic insanity carries on, and people go around with their spouses, with their children, with the people that are dearest to them, making up stories about why they did it, because they're totally and completely dissociated from the content of their own minds. It's interesting. Liam Neeson addresses that in a quote that I think is very powerful, and here's what Liam Neeson, the actor, says. This guy has been through some pretty heavy-duty stuff. And excuse me, but I'm just flipping through an article here. I've got this quote in my article, and I'm going through it as we speak. Well, the article's longer than I realized. I just pasted it in. Oh, come on, Michael. Okay, here's what Liam Neeson says. Everyone says love hurts, but that is not true. Everyone gets these things confused with love. But in reality, love is the only thing in this world that covers all pain and makes someone feel wonderful again. Love is the only thing in this world that does not hurt. And I'd offer it does not cause aberrant, insane behavior like we saw in the Oscars the other night. No causal relationship whatsoever. The causal relationship was an underlying pained circumstance or situation dissociated from that drove him to do a behavior, and his hallucination, the stuff he made up, different word we could use when people make stuff up. Yeah, it's a five-letter word, so what? But here he makes up this story, his excuse, instead of touching into a deeply, deeply. And this is a challenge of the power person dynamic. To touch into it means you've got to feel the pain of it. You've got to, you know, face it directly. So instead, he makes up a story, did it for love. Now, I guarantee you that look that his wife gave him was not based in love. And I guarantee you that his getting up and hitting Chris Rock in the face and screaming obscenities had nothing whatsoever to do with love. It had to do with pain. Hurting people hurt people. When they're in pain, whether that pain is conscious or unconscious, they do things that are quite literally insane. And so my offering is to just invite everyone to be aware, if you've ever done any of those insane things, to take responsibility and to move through it and stop, you know, be willing to be confronted. Stop making up stories. I mean, stop. I mean, this isn't the whole hallucination. I did it for love. No, love doesn't make you do angry, traumatic, hateful, vile, vicious things. Those two things are mutually exclusive. Everybody had to make something up. And if you confront the person that's making stuff up to justify their behavior, oh, be very, very careful, because you are treading so close to John the Baptist and so close to losing your head. Now, I mentioned that we had an experience of this that kind of just, you know, in the moment drove this whole picture home for me. And that is that where Dad's staying, they don't allow extension cords to be plugged into the wall for safety reasons. It's like a state law kind of thing. And they also don't allow any kind of railings, you know, guardrails on a bed, not allowed. That's considered restraint, and it doesn't matter. You're just not allowed to do that. So we, you know, at home we had railings on the beds, you know, up toward the head. So when Dad sat up, he could get a hold of it. He could help himself up, help himself sit down and such. But they made us take those off. And Jeannie had bought, and the bed was sitting in the middle of the room, so he was prone to, you know, the possibility of falling off either side. So we chose to move the bed against the wall so that at least one side he was protected. And then the other day, in order to give him a place to put, you know, a water bottle and have some pictures and a clock and those sorts of things, she got a little narrow, you know, like 4-inch wide little bookshelf type thing, and installed on it was a plug so that you could plug something in and or you could charge a phone or what have you. And she had taken and put that together the other day and had it beside his bed. And when we got there this morning, it was taken away. I mean, it was moved away from his bed. I was like, what's this all about? Why is this? And I'm not sure exactly who the person was that the employee called, but one of her superiors, I don't know whether she's the director of the place or not, but came down and asked the question. And I suspect that us asking this question of her elicited a power person dynamic in her from the way she responded, from her energy and the way she responded. So we, you know, said, why did they take the shelving unit out? She said, well, I don't know. And then she offered a piece of stuff, that other word, that she made up in order to justify why it was done. She said, well, you know, we'd like to have the bed over one side toward the wall, on the wall, so that for safety reasons, because we can't have restraints. It's like, well, that's an interesting story, but we actually put it over against the wall. You had it out again from the wall. And then I realized after when I looked at it closely that, in fact, this small device. Jeannie, if you could hit a mute button. We're starting to get noises in the background. So looked at it more closely and realized that the reason they moved it, I think, was because the plug that's in it was actually just an extension. It's mounted on the shelving unit, the little shelving unit, but it was actually basically an extension cord, and they don't allow extension cords. But it was just interesting, and it sort of brought this whole thing home of how people's stories, when they do exactly what was done to them that they hated happening, but they'll always have a story to justify it and make it real, make it reasonable, make it sensible, and verify that the behavior coming from their power person dynamic, that when it was done to them, they abhorred it, absolutely abhorred it, but they make up a story to make it acceptable. And, you know, underlying each time one does, you know, I would love to get on the phone with Will Smith and say, Will, let's get together and do some work. And man, this is such an opportunity to take this major life event that you wrote about in your memoir and how deeply it's impacted you and process through it. At the same time, another piece that I hadn't thought of, I've been doing a little bit of writing about this, was I really want to acknowledge the hero in this scenario, and that is a real man named Chris Rock. I don't particularly agree with his profession. You know, it's what they call comedy can be pretty vicious, and he's got can have a pretty cutting mouth. I'm not addressing that aspect of him, but I can only imagine that Chris Rock has done a significant amount of work to stand up in front of literally the world and what most people would call being slapped in the mouth and screamed obscenities like we're screamed at. Most people call that very degrading. Chris Rock, to me, is a hero. He stood there. He breathed. He stayed in the state of responsibility. He didn't go into, you know, what the boy man usually does, like certain government representatives we've seen over the last couple of years. Oh, look at what they're doing. Look what you've done to me. I'm such a victim. You've done such terrible. He didn't do any of that. He was totally, completely responsible. And he went right on with the show. And if you've read any accounts of what he said since then, basically there have been two statements that he's made, one at least that I know of. One of them, he did a show a couple nights later somewhere, and apparently his audience was up by 50%. You know, it's been a big boost for him. But when asked about it or commenting on it, what he said is, I'm still processing it. And if you remember, now he may not have exactly the same definition of processing as we do, but remember, our definition of processing is the ability to hold love conscious, active, and present when something less than love come up. Not one negative word came out of his mouth. Yeah, he did say, Will Smith just slapped the poop out of me. Yeah, but he didn't say it in any kind of a vicious, degrading, victimized, blaming, none of that. And the only other account that I've read is one of the producers, I believe it was one of the producers, or it may have been one of the other recipients of an award. Because of what Will Smith did and the way it changed the focus of the whole evening, he apologized to that person that they lost the limelight that they should have had because of his joke. I mean, talk about someone who's living in the present and doing their work and standing in a place of an actual adult human being. He's processing, dealing with what came up for him responsibly rather than puking it out all on, which, you know, I mean, lesser men would have been puking all over Will Smith and the Academy Awards for allowing it and, you know, all that. He's done none of it. He's apologized to the way he was able to stay conscious enough in the present of his pain. And my understanding is that, you know, Will Smith, remember he played Muhammad Ali in Muhammad Ali movie. And, you know, one writer compared his hands to a large flank steak. Will Smith's got a pretty big, pretty tough hand. And he pretty much, you know, let all of the energy that he had go into Chris Rock. And Chris just took it on, stayed connected, carried on with what he was there to do, apologized to the people whose limelight was stolen as a result of the event, and acknowledges that he's processing it. You know, to me, this has just been just such a beautiful example, especially with the fact that Will Smith had written about the event that he replicated. You know, I mean, it's such a powerful verification of the power person dynamic, but he's given all the world an opportunity to look and see. So pretty powerful, pretty profound. And so just, you know, building brain cells to understand on deeper and deeper levels that dynamic. And to, you know, the more brain cells you've got, the more able you're going to be able to stop making crap up to justify the crap that you do. And you're going to be able to go, oh, look what I'm doing. Boy, when they did this to me, I detested, hated, it was hatred. Now, I've done it 1,000 times to the people around me, especially the ones that I cherish. But I did it for love. the lie we tell ourselves to rename our power person behavior. And when we're not able to acknowledge and own it, then it goes on and on and on. And owning it means I'm going to have to look at the original pain of it and process it directly, which to me it looks and sounds like Chris Rock is in the middle of doing with, you know, I mean, that's a pretty heavy hand, and literally, to me, it takes a real man to stand in front of, you know, 80 million people live in the whole world and do what he's done with it. So accolades to you, Chris Rock. Even though I don't agree with your profession of how so-called comedy can be so vicious. Any event, they're my thoughts for today. And I would love to have your thoughts back. If it refines anything for you, makes sense for you, doesn't make sense for you, how does this all work? Would love to hear your voice and have a conversation with you. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you dial that number, you'll be listening to the show. And if you have a question or a comment, a thought, if we can support you with anything that's moving in your life, push one. Jeannie will see through the magic of technology your hand rise up on her computer screen and introduce you by your area code, and we'll be having a conversation. So how can we support you? Missy, we have anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up? Anything happening in the chat room?
Nope, it is quiet both places.
Okay. Well, what's happening in your world, folks? Monologue's over. Time for dialogue. How can we support you? How are these tools fitting? Is there something that doesn't make sense? Some piece that's missing? Something needs to be filled in? And of course, you know, to add to the first part of my monologue, I'd put forward, of course, the solution. And there's only one, you know, conscious, consistent, reliable, persistent, consistent solution, and that's forgiveness. Other people, you know, and we see people who have major events in their lives and they heal from them. And my offering is that they kind of, you know, if you say to them, well, how did you heal that? They'll go, I don't know. It was just kind of like they stumbled across forgiveness. Somehow they stumbled across a way to remove the traumatic energy from their structures and be freed from it, which is nice. You know, that's a good thing for that to happen, for somebody to stumble across it and have a major shift take place. But what we're looking to do with this forgiveness tool is to offer people a consistent, persistent way that you don't have to just stumble across a healing possibility, but that you consciously create those healing opportunities for yourself continuously. You know, one of the testimonials that Dr. Tim did at one point some time ago was, and he's actually said it more than once on the show, was that, you know, he's followed as a clinical psychotherapist, that he's heard of and followed many good clinical psychotherapists and gone to their workshops because these people have produced awesome, phenomenal, powerful healing results with people, and he wants to learn how to do it. And what he shared is that, and he's got many friends in the field that also go to those people's workshops, but it, in most cases, others can't reproduce it. You know, did the therapist know what they're doing in order to produce that result? Is it something they do unconsciously so they can't explain it? Well, I can remember when this was all unconscious for me, and years of study and understanding and work building brain cells and doing the forgiveness work allowed me to build the brain cells to be able to explain. And what Dr. Tim has said, what attracted him to this work and has him on the radio show so many years later, doing his own hour of the show, is that he can hand these tools to anybody and they can produce the same result as anybody else, the same result as me or him or anyone else. It's not something you have to be special to do. There's a set of tools here. You don't have to believe them. You don't have to accept them. All you have to do is use them. And if you put them to work, watch how life changes. It is just the most amazing thing. And so if we can support you in understanding that and putting that together, if there are any, you know, holes in your understanding or you're going, what are you talking about? Where is this going? Push one. Let's have a conversation.
We have a hand up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
Area code 541, Miss Felinda.
Yes, it is. Just one second. I'm in the
okay,
middle of my
okay, welcome in, lady.
I had to turn everything off. Okay, we're good. We were good. Anyway, I wanted to share with you that what you just mentioned about the whole drama at the Oscars just so dovetailed perfectly with what Dr. Tim was sharing of his summary of Chapter 7 of The Way of Mastery. And I am just absolutely ecstatic about the way things, brain cells must be popping in me because I'm making connections that I hadn't made with information that I'd received 30, 40, 50 years ago, but just simply did not comprehend what they actually meant. And so thank you, Jeannie, and Dr. Tim, and The Way of Mastery, and your quotes on the Course in Miracles, even though it's languaged in a way that just doesn't work for me. I am so appreciative of all the quotes and all of the experiences that you and Jeannie share. Thank you.
Well, I might invite you to let go of that thought about how it doesn't work for you because you built brain cells from using it and therefore it is working for you quite well. It may bring some things up. One of my experiences with the Course, I remember one woman that I worked with years ago, and she lived in San Francisco, and she was working with the Course in Miracles. And one day, she was so enraged. She read a passage from the Course. She was on her way to work. She was so enraged. She was driving across the San Francisco Bridge, and she threw her Course in Miracles out her car window off the bridge.
Oh.
So maybe the Course brings some, you know, my take is the Course is written so very powerfully that it resonates and starts to show us parts of our minds that are in need of healing. And so a lot of people sort of want to push it away, but it's there to build brain cells. And when I recognize the genius of this man, Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, to have in essence said, his work is only for those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. You've got to have the brain cells. And, you know, that can take decades of life experience or, you know, the minute we hear someone else speak it, we can go, oh, there it is. And it usually takes time to build the brain cells for our brain to be able to generate a perceptual construct that approximates the higher possibility. So, delighted that's happening for you.
Yes, thank you. I'm delighted too, and we'll have to do a little jig, all of us together, in our...
Go for it.
...our unformed consciousness together.
Well,
thank
and
you.
One of the other things that comes to mind, and I mentioned this briefly the other day, is I'd shared that there is an ophthalmologist that I worked with years ago. He's passed now. But he had developed a way of using light laser beams, putting them into certain parts of the eye in order to stimulate parts of the brain. Pretty awesome work.
Wow.
Went through his process, and it really was a major brain upgrade for me. This is 25 years ago, maybe more than that. But anyway, what he used to say as an ophthalmologist was that, and I've never gone looking for verification of this, but that there were more connections possible in a human brain than there are atoms in the known universe. Now, you know, they use a comparison of the number of grains of sand on the beaches of the world. I mean, think about how many. And yet, one grain of sand probably has, you know, 10 trillion atoms in it. And what he says, one brain has more connections possible than all the atoms in the universe. So as we continue to build these brain cells, and this is one of the reasons why I think we're designed to be eternal. Like, you know, nature doesn't design things and not use them. So if you and I, if every one of us has the capacity to make more links and connections and generate higher and higher and higher orders of understanding and realities within our minds to have us and assist us in comprehending the creation, obviously we were meant to be around for a long time to do that. And 100-year lifespan's nothing. I think we're here to be eternal, to continue to build those brain cells to the point where who knows what it is that we're here to comprehend? Who knows what it is that we're here to understand and be able to do and bring forward when you realize that's the capacity we have? Like, you know, the highest of the highest human beings might be working at 1/100,000th of capacity. And what happens if we build those brain cells and we reach that? Like, so to me, that's one of the reasons why I believe that we're designed to be literally physiologically eternal.
What you just said reminds me a bit of this new fairly new concept, I guess, 50 years of lateral thinking. And I've been exploring that. And I need to tell you really quickly that I only have 7% on my phone. So if we lose contact with each other, it's just I'm not where my charger is. So,
okay.
But what a beautiful picture you presented of the cosmos's version of lateral thinking. I just, I'm going to play with that one also. And I agree with you. I'm aware that my resistance to A Course in Miracles has to do with a bunch of things I'm still processing, including any test anxiety. Anything that even looks like a form or a test will be very stressful for it, even if I ace it. It's extremely stressful for me. So I know I have more issues.
So here, hold for a second. If you've only got a minute, hold. Important key here. So did you notice your denial language just now?
That I was blaming it on
is stressful for
anxiety.
Me.
Oh, it is stressful for me. Yeah.
Okay. So that's total complete denial. Stress is never created from outside. Stress is always created from within. And my offering would be it brings up some stress for you, and there's your next worksheet. There's your next piece of work to move through that. And recognize that what the course is designed to do is to bring up everything that people have never processed. And sadly, most people, you know, who are designed to be going to these higher cortical functions live in a sympathetic dominant state of fear, fight, flight, or freeze, and that cuts off access to the higher cortical functions, and then they function of the power person dynamic, and they think that they're all just, you know, rocking and everything's just doing great, and all they're doing is replaying. Like, Yeshua at one point says, I'm here to be about my... He's 12. His parents are saying, come on home. And he says, don't you know I'm here to be about my father's business? And I think we could take that phrase and apply it to every behavior that's done that replicates the power person. Don't you know you're here to be about your father's business? You're not here to replicate that garbage, that past. Does that fit and make sense for you?
Yes, it does, and I have a very deep perception that my resistance, when it is gone, will possibly still leave me with the awareness that Course in Miracles does not suit my growth. And acknowledging that there are quotes in it that are wonderful, but it is also what you were saying, or that all of us deal with, is in this formed universe, we have an infinite amount of time, and we are required to have priorities, have goal management, have all of those things. So what I am very happy to work on and am working on is all of my resistance. And I also know that there is an awareness within me that says, this other will serve your walk better than another way. That's why I'm not a Buddhist, even though I appreciate and value very highly Buddhism and what accomplishments it has done and how it has expressed many, many aspects of Christ's mind. The Aramaic gospel works better for me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I have a great
until it doesn't.
Resistance. Pardon? Until it doesn't.
Until it doesn't. And then your brain cells are ready for wisdom that comes from another place.
Exactly, which has been the journey of my whole life. I feel very led, spiritually speaking, my whole life through many different paths or ways of seeing divinity and seeing ourselves. And I feel that's why I nested in the Aramaic gospel for this moment in time, because this moment in time is really all I have. And if something very strongly urges me, okay, it is time, you're at a Y in the road, it is time to make another choice that will further your journey home, then I will, you know, I will do that. And in the practice of that, I will discern whether it is valid or not for what I have been instructed to do or to be. Not to be. Be is constant, to do. Yeah. Or to study. Or
cool.
The many, many things come under my nose, Michael and Jeannie. It's just that I am required to be discerning. What is the most useful for you personally and for the good of the whole, for you to study in this moment of time? And so I'm culling right and left. I'm really paying attention to my lack of focus and saying it is now time to coalesce all of this that you have explored, all of this nectar that you have gathered, and bring it home and digest it and find which is the most healing and the most helpful for you and for your community. And I also I'm aware it's one step at a time, and it's practice, practice, practice.
For sure, for sure. The piece that I'm offering you simply is that while I hear you saying that about the course, at the same time I hear you having benefited from it, it's helped you build some brain cells. And so I'm just offering that you might want to look at the conflict there, and that the course is, you know, I've had the experience, and many people have, that they read a sentence in the course and they go, what did I just read? Let me read that again. I'm sure I just read it. And they read it again, and they go, I can't remember what did I just read? And they read it again, and they read it again. And then 6 months later, they pick it up, and they read it, and it's just like as simple as ABC. It's just straightforward. And the course is written in a way that if there are conflicts within the mind, it's going to arouse those conflicts for resolution. And it moves people in the direction of that resolution. That has been my experience. And then it's just simple, straightforward. Well, that's obvious what it said. How did I ever have problems with that? Well, the thing was, I didn't have the brain cells to comprehend it, and or I had conflicts in my content that this resonated for me that I didn't want to feel, didn't want to deal with. And so just offering that you might want to look at that acknowledgement, you know, kind of love-hate relationship and see what it means. I can remember back years ago I had a... Go ahead.
sort of like the computer, yes.
There you go. Back several years
go
ago,
ahead.
I had someone give me a book, pardon me, that was written, and I don't even remember the name of the book right now, but I picked it up, and this person was telling me, give me this glowing review of it, and like I opened it, and I tried to read it and tour through, and it was just like, no way, and I put it aside. And it was probably about 3 years later that I ran across that book again, and I picked it up, and I had to devour it. Every word was like a piece of gold. 3 years earlier, it's like, I won't even waste my time to read this. And I literally read the book in one setting about 3 years later. And so I think, you know, like the child, as Montessori recognizes, there are sensitive periods. And when we're in a sensitive period, you know, there's a whole piece of information that will be consumed and integrated and be useful. And if we're not in a sensitive period for it, we tend to push it off and reject it.
Or sometimes it may be, and sometimes it may be, because I'm learning more and more that we live in paradox when we walk in Christ, and so the Christ mind. And so, and it also may be that I don't need to go there. It's not necessary, because then when I hear something from the Course, it makes total sense, and I am at peace. So, you know, there's either possibility there, and I'm willing to explore both of them. Or any other possibility that comes in between those two.
I hear you. Sweet. Well, I'm glad you're
Sweet.
On the path
thank
with us
you.
And that what we're doing is serving you and supporting you, and thank you for the support you offer, the gifts. I got the materials that you send, and the gifts that you sent for Aria were sweet. We appreciate how you think of her and ourselves as well.
And also, I want to thank you for offering me the opportunity to stand in my and feel comfortable and bathe in your and Jeannie's love, even when I see things totally differently than you. That is an awesome gift.
Delighted to be on the team and have you on ours.
Okay, and hugs all the way around.
All right. Well, any other thoughts for you today, young lady, before we move forward?
No, I think that's wonderful. You're perfect. I'm perfect. We're all perfect. Jeannie, you're perfect. And Aria Rain is the perfect princess.
Yesterday we were playing with water and a little bit of soap and an ozone machine that we have for detoxifying vegetables. And I put the ozone device in the water with the soap in it, and it just builds as a mountain of bubbles. If you take a look on my Facebook page, I just happened to catch her at the right time. She took a big handful of these bubbles, and she's holding them up above her head like she's giving an offering to heaven. And there's just this awesome, sweet, angelic look on her face that I caught. It's just, you know, it's like one of those pictures that, man, I love getting that one. And I'd love to look at it. So they are definitely.
Go ahead.
I'm complete.
Oh, okay. I would love to see that picture, and I just have chosen to be off of Facebook, so I can just about visualize it in my mind. She's such a precious piece of plasticity that you and Jeannie are having the cherished opportunity to enjoy being part of. Blessings. And I am complete.
Michael, I can't hear you.
Oops, I pushed my mute button.
Off.
Thank you. Thank you, Selinda. No, I had pushed my mute button without realizing when I went to send that picture to you. So you should have it in your phone by now. But I love this magic of technology that we have available to us.
Yes, and I love the virtual reality of being outside in nature, too. So
yes.
They're both blessings in their proper application.
Oh, I love sitting outside with my phone, for sure. All right, well,
no,
you have a blessed one. Take care.
No, my phone stays on the shelf when I go to the garden. Thank you so much. I'll talk to
All right,
you again.
Take care. Sure.
Bye-bye.
All righty, bye-bye.
And we have another hand.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
808, it's Miss Roma.
Oh, hi. How's everybody
Aloha,
today?
Aloha, young lady. Welcome. We're rocking.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I received a letter from Spain, Portugal.
Interesting. Who do we
Mega
know in
Millions.
Portugal?
Yeah. I don't, well, this is like, they're telling me that I've $4,500,000.
Oh, wow. Go get it, girl.
Oh, yeah, but I mean.
If you can do it for less than a dime.
Yeah, well, there was going to be a fee of $1,200, I found out. This guy, I emailed back because I thought that was the safest way to deal with this. You know, at the bottom of this piece of paper, this is called Mega Millions with Mega Pallier or something like that from Spain. And I don't know. Have you ever heard of this?
Well, there are so many scams out there that will tell you how, you know, Mrs. Such and Such's wealthy husband had all this money hidden away and he died and she wants to give it to you. And, I mean, there's so many of those out there that I'd be careful how
I
interact with them.
I tried to check it out on the Internet to see if it was a fraud because, you know, I've discovered that some things are frauds on the Internet, but this looked like it was...
Well, as long as you don't give away any private information or pay for it, you know, if somebody's going to give you millions and says, but you have to send me $500 to get it, you're being scammed.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. It was supposed to be $1,200 to Arizona. Oh, my gosh.
Ah.
There's a lot of scam artists. It seems like there's a huge explosion of scam artists walking
around. Oh, yes. There's lots of it. But if somebody's going to give me $10 million and says all I have to do is send them $1,200, just write back a note and say, take the $1,200 out of the $10 million and send me the balance, and you'll never hear from them again.
So did you get a package, the package that I sent for
Have not seen it yet, no.
Haven't? Really? I sent Snow White for your granddaughter.
Oh, awesome. Well, we'll look forward to that. But I've noticed that, you know, since Mr. DeJoy has been put in charge of the post office over the last 3 or 4 years, everything has slowed down immeasurably. I mean, it's taking weeks for us to get stuff that it used to take 2 or 3 days to get. So there was a very concerted effort to literally destroy the post office by a man who was appointed to head up the post office, but he actually was invested in a private packaging or you know, delivery service company that was making millions off the post office. And so, but it'll get here, I hope, and we'll let you know when it does. Thank you.
I think I sent it over a month ago, so it's really...
No.
Anyway, I was watching that and I thought, oh my God, I bet you. What's her name? I forgot her name.
Aria Rain.
Aria, yeah. I thought, oh, I bet Aria might love this.
You know, cool.
With the seven stars.
Well, we'll keep an eye for it. She does love to.
Yeah, okay.
To
I
get
hope
books
it gets
and...
there. Okay, all right. Aloha. Thank you.
Okay, aloha. Take care. Blessings. Bye bye. So it looks like we're down to about 10 minutes. So if you're out there in the world and you have a thought for us, push one. Let's have a conversation. Is this whole power person dynamic explanation making sense for you? Is there anything else? Yo, great. Let's say hello.
760. I believe this is Ann.
Yes, ma'am. Hi,
welcome,
folks.
Young lady. How are things in Florida?
Well, the weather is great. I got through the emotions last night when I found out how much tax I'm going to have to pay to the IRS because of property that we sold, the kids and I. And so I just canceled the goal to even deal with it. I mean, just, you know. And so I got some sleep, and then, you know, things came up today. And I go, okay, either I need to do a mind shifter, but then I kind of already went through that when I said safe and healing to accept the rules of the IRS. Well, I already kind of, you know, emotionally went through, you know, writing it, even though I didn't put it down on paper. But then I'm thinking, well, what if I do a wake-up sheet? What would the goal be? And so would the goal be for them to be kinder to us? anyway, because of my invested monies, then with this money that we made, it put me into a different percent category. So
right.
That meant...
Yep.
You know, so I paid more on my stuff, but then also we had to pay. So when she said the word $32,000, I just like, how, wait, you know. So I caught the last 15 minutes of Dr. Tim, you know, reading through lesson 7, and I missed yesterday. But anyway, the last 15 minutes seemed to just calm me down because it was just reminding me that it's just... It's not really there. And so I don't know if you've had your experiences with, you know, having to deal with owing them stuff when you were trying to get ahead.
So how about another mind shifter?
Okay.
How about the more I get to pay to the IRS?
Uh-oh. Okay.
The more abundant I am, the more abundant I am,
the more abundant I am.
Yes, the more I get to pay to the IRS, comma, the more abundant I am, comma, the more I cherish communications I receive from the IRS. There you go.
Yeah,
that's what you put on the other side of the page. There's where the work is.
The
there's where the
I
goals
cherish.
Are right there.
Okay, the more I
the communications,
cherish,
the more I cherish the communications I receive from the IRS.
Okay.
And so in that response
and
that
actually,
you had where you started to laugh and kind
yes.
of fumble over your words, there's where the goals are that are important to do your worksheets on.
Okay, right, right. Just like when we get angry as you're giving us those or something. Well, and actually, yeah, the communication came from my tax lady, so it's not in print yet. But it doesn't matter. It's still the rules because she read me the rule. I mean, you know, because she was checking on some other stuff too. So I can't. Okay. I'll throw the rules in there too because it all had to do with rules. Like you can't even.
Right.
Like reinvest because they're saying that it was for investment reasons. But actually for us at the time, it was for personal reasons. You know, the kids were going to build on it. We're going to live up there. Then they decided to come to Florida. And then now they're back in South Carolina. Anyway. And that was a God thing anyway. But it's like, okay, so it's not worth, I guess that's what I settled on last night, it's not worth me arguing with the IRS. Well, no, it was really for personal reasons and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, so I'll do this one, shifter. Yeah,
cool.
So that would go on the right side of the... Yeah. Yeah, that would go on the right side of the page, like what I just said.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yep. All of it.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
All right. Any other thoughts for you?
Blessings. Nope, not
today.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Blessings.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Miss Junie, do we have anything else happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
No, and I just happened to think to share a story of an experience I had with the IRS. This was several years ago when Ryan was in college and when I was in college. And so I had submitted, you know, everything for our taxes and paid and all that, and I had gotten a letter that I owed them another $2,000 and some. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And I didn't even take time to do a worksheet, but I just sat there breathing, and I called the IRS. And
I remember I was sitting there breathing with you.
And I was just breathing, and they answered the phone, and I said, you know, I don't understand. I said, I use the H&R Block program, and it walked me through, you know, all of the school stuff and everything. And, you know, I thought I submitted everything that I was supposed to, so please explain to me what I've missed. And she said, hold on just a moment. And so she put me on hold, and I'm sitting there just breathing away. My heart's pounding out of my chest. And she comes back, and this is a quote from a lady that works at the IRS. And she goes, we are so stupid. She said, ignore that letter. She said, I'll send you out another one. You don't owe us anything. You're fine. And I was like, huh? And I hung up the phone. And I was like, okay, breathing is better than believing, because I didn't believe I was going to come out of that one. And I just sat there and kept breathing. And I actually made a poster that I used during the women's intensives that says breathing is better than believing. So anyway, just thought to share that since it was an IRS story there.
Yeah, I remember that very clearly. That was very powerful to sit and breathe with you through that. That was something. And for those who are listening who might wonder what we're talking about with a mind shifter, if you're new to the show, a mind shifter is one of the tools that we teach for accessing unconscious data, accessing things that are hiding within our own mind. So our definition of a mind shifter is that a mind shifter is a thought about an issue in your life around which there are thought disorders, and it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release the thought disorders. So the design of the mind shifter and the way that you do it, you know, if that one appealed to you and you're not sure what to do with it, is you divide the page in two, you write the mind shifter on the left side of the page, and then you just do a brain dump. You let your mind come up with anything that it's got in regard to or that's resonated. Remember, the mind works by the law of resonance. If I say, don't think about the color of your car, what moves in your mind is something about the color of your car. You know, I've had people who, when I use that example, and I say, don't think about the car, and they say, well, I'm not thinking about it. And it's like, really, what is it you're not thinking about? In order not to think about it, you had to think about it, quote unquote. So the idea of the mind shifter is to simply write that and write it 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 until there's nothing else to come up, and let everything come up and just uncensored write it on the right-hand side of the page. Then when you're complete, go back, look at everything on the right-hand side of the page, and work through. You know, gee, I might need to do a worksheet around this. I might need to take the responsibility communication tool here. Oh, here's a place for me to use the commitment. So what tools am I going to use to work through all the things that come up in response to the mind shifter? So that's how that works, and we're just about out of time, so I'm going to say thank you all for joining us. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org. AGAIN.org.